This is not mine. Am I on, Ray? Okay. This morning, we're gonna do something different, probably a lot different. So there's a subject that we're gonna tackle this morning, but I can't do it on my own. The subject's too heavy. It's too complicated. I don't have the answers. I've logged hours and hours and hours on this subject to no avail. I need help. I need interaction. I'm going to present some strong scripture to you. But I need help working this out because it's too strong. And I've asked the Lord to not have to do this. I have wrestled with the Lord all week. I don't want to do this. I don't want to deal with the subject, but Jesus is the one that said it. And every Christian has to deal with the words that he said. And I can't square it. And so I have some scriptures. I have some thoughts. I have some things. But I by no means have this thing put together. And so this is either going to be a really short day, or we as a body are going to help each other figure this out. Because I do believe that I'm not the only one that's going to have issue with what I'm about to read. There's four kinds of people. There's people that aren't saved, don't know they need to be saved, don't care to be saved. There's people who are saved and don't know they're saved. There's people who are saved and know they're saved. And then there's people who aren't saved but think they're saved. That's a scary, scary subject. It's scary to think that there are people who think they're saved and they're not saved. It should give everybody pause. It should bother every Christian that there are people who think they're saved and they're not saved. It bothers me. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll set the stage here. This is the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you know the Sermon on the Mount? Know of it? You've heard of it? Yeah? How many of you know it starts in chapter 5 and goes all the way through chapter 5, 6, and 7? How many of you have ever read it from start to beginning like you were sitting there on the hill listening to Jesus talk? I never had, but I have a lot as of lately because this is the end of his sermon. I thought about reading the Sermon on the Mount this morning. I thought about setting it up that I would just read the Sermon on the Mount and we would all deal with the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. But I'm really perplexed with the end of the sermon. I'm really bothered by the end of the sermon. And so, go to chapter 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons? In your name perform miracles? Then I will say plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. It did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd was amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Show of hands of how excited we are about that last closing statement. Many. Wide. Narrow. Few. Turn to Matthew 25. Verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but they did not take oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and they all fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here, the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." When all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "they may not be enough for the both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." He replied, "Truly I tell you, I never knew you. Therefore, keep watch, because you know not the day or the hour." Four words you never want to hear from Jesus. I never knew you. How can we have any assurance that we're not one of the 5 or with the many? This isn't somebody else talking, this is Jesus talking. And if you think, wait, Gabe's going to pull up another scripture and give you some great answer, he's not. I've listened to several different takes on this on YouTube. I've studied the scriptures. I'm not fully comfortable with an answer that I would stand up here and give people and be accountable for it. This is bothersome. There are people in the world, many, who think they're saved and they're not saved. And they're going to get there and they're going to go, "Lord, Lord." He's going to be like, "I don't know you." The only examples that I can think of in both of these stories in the Bible, I'm sure there's others. These are the only ones I can think of. Judas. Judas was with the disciples when they healed people, when they gave to the poor, when they prophesied, when they cast out demons. He was there. He was with them, But he wasn't them. Because he was living for something else. And the other one is, I think about the virgins, and I think about Noah building an ark for 100 years. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. I assure you, people were knocking on the door of the boat trying to get in. I believe you because it's now raining. Those are the two examples that I know of that correlate with the scripture. Now, this is where we try to figure this out. This is where I need your help. This is where we're going to interact. Because I don't know how to square all this. I have some thoughts.
But Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our sins. When people are dying, I've heard it a lot of times where they say, make sure that you understand that. Is it as simple as that?
Well, we're gonna discuss that. So I think that the subject is our salvation faith based alone, or works and faith, or works? Watch. I'll just tell you where I'm hung up. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, we did not prophesy in your name. Verse before that. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones that do the will of the Father. What does that mean? Can somebody tell me how you do the will of the Father? Because it's real dang important in this subject.
Can I read the next scripture?
Yeah.
So Matthew 25:14-30. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability, which I think that's fairly important to your question. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave, you were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has had the 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. So let me throw my thoughts about that. So I have two thoughts about that. Here's a guy who has something from God, did nothing with it. He did nothing with it. He just kept it to himself. On the flip side, the other two did something. There was action. Again, let's lay the subject matter out here. The conflict of subject here is it faith-based only? You don't got to do nothing but believe. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I did that. I'm done. Put a fork in me. I'm going to heaven. Or there's works that I need to do. I need to go take my 5 talents and turn them into 10 talents. Because if I don't, when he gets back, I'm in trouble. I'm just laying it out there how I'm living it. Go ahead.
No, I'm finished.
What's that?
No, finish.
I've been stuck in my whole life trying to square this. I know that I can't earn my salvation. Okay? But I also know I can't bury my talent in the sand. And I'm stuck between I believe in Jesus and what am I supposed to do about that and ending up at the pearly gates saying, Lord, Lord.
How about tithing?
How about reading your Bible? How about praying? How about going to church? How about all of it? Go ahead.
So, when you first started, this is my opinion again.
Again, I think that to set the record straight, and there's nobody preaching doctrine here. Like, we're all, unless somebody's got this figured out, please stand.
Honor, you got it.
So, we don't have this figured out.
There's some more concrete stuff that can be shared.
There is. I have some more, and I'm going to bring context to this, but we can't ignore that Jesus is the one that said both of these things. And that I've searched around to try to undo them or say, well, he didn't really mean that because he meant this because he said this over here. He says some parallel things that I'm willing to bring up.
Well, one of the things that sucks for us is we're reading a translation, so we have to come to that agreement right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So some of the words that we understand them in our language are not exactly the same way that we should understand them. Mm-hmm. And one of the easy things to go to is when you say believe, I think it's better translated trust.
Sure.
And with trust, there is action. So it's a little different than I acknowledge that something is true. When you trust something, then you operate differently.
I think that it's easy to read this, and I don't care what translation you're reading it in, and come out conflicted about, is the message about faith? There's plenty of faith scripture, and there's plenty of do scripture. And James addresses it. James addresses it hard. But I am struggling to define the lines of this in my own life. I mean, these people clearly said, we did things in your name. And I have a thought about that I'm not sharing just yet. I want to hear some more. But I have a thought about that, about what they said. Go ahead, Nick.
Couple things for me, when you labeled 3 things, pure faith, faith plus works, or works alone. For me, in my mental process, a little bit of elimination. So I first of all take the easy path and go, works, there's none righteous, no, not one. I think the works is probably the easiest one to go, hey, you're not probably, I don't think there's any, I would personally read the Bible theology-wise and say, there's nobody working their way into heaven. So I can kind of eliminate that one. So that brings it back then to, is it pure faith or is it faith plus works? The scripture Matt just read leads to the fact that if you just bury it and say, you're God, you're awesome, I knew you're a hard man, I knew that you're got everything, that didn't make it either, just believing that. You actually have to do something. That does not simplify. It does not simplify the controversy that you're talking about. What do you do then? When is it works? When is it faith? And it's coupled there in the middle. At least that's my first thought.
Go ahead, Ray.
The thing that may help is to go back to the other scripture that you read about, you know them by their fruit. Mm-hmm. If we stop using the word do or work or whatever that describes action and replace it with okay, show me your apples.
Yeah.
And because, like, I'm looking at, and for some of them, people will say, Lord, Lord, I'm an apple tree, so to speak. And God will say, I see your apples. You know, yes, I agree. And other people will say, Lord, Lord, I'm an apple tree. And he's saying, I don't see your apples. And so I know that what you're saying is not true. So the other half of this for me that I can remember struggling with this a long time ago is the person that's saying, Lord, Lord, we did all this stuff in your name. They may be just saying that. And it may not be true. And that's why I say that you can say whatever you want, but the proof is in the proof. So if you're an apple tree, you're going to bear apples.
I think it goes back to what
just happened.
It goes back to the heart. Because even in Matthew it says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The first two who got talents had a heart for their master. The third one didn't. And it all boils down to the heart. Where is your heart at? There was a man casting out demons. And the disciples said, Lord, this man's casting out demons. He's not one of us. And Jesus replied to him, he's doing it in my name. I mean, he's doing it, and the kingdom isn't divided. He wasn't with them. So it's, again, it's the heart and the actions. If you read on further, it says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word that is spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
Something to go off of what Sandy said about the heart. I've been studying the scripture of Jesus when he washed the disciples' feet, and he says to Simon, Peter said, Lord, I can't let you wash my dirty feet, you're my Lord. And Jesus replied, you don't understand yet the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you. Peter looked at Jesus and said, you'll never wash my feet, never. But Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, Jesus responded, then you will not be able to share life with me. So Peter said, Lord, in this case, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands, my head too, wash all of me. And Jesus said to him, you are already clean, you've been washed completely, and you just need your feet to be cleansed. But that can't be said of all of you, for Jesus knew that one was about to betray him. And it was just, it hit me like, we're all dirty sinners that need cleansed, but he sees the heart of the people, and only their feet needed washed. And it's like, why is that? Because he saw their heart. He knew that their heart was actually for him, but he knew that one was not. But yet he still washed all their feet. And I think repentance has to do with the do part of it. Like true, honest repentance.
I like what Ray reminded us of, the fruit. And Paul writes in Galatians about the fruit that comes from God's Spirit. And those things can be mimicked, but the instruction is to walk by God's Spirit. So if we're following along with the same instructions that Jesus gave us about doing the will of the Father, then the fruit that's produced is from Him, not from us. And then that's the evidence that, you know, like James talks about as well, that can give us that. So the people themselves that are, I'm not exactly sure what your hang up is. Hold on. Is it the people who think that they're saved and they're not?
Anybody that thinks that I'm questioning my salvation, to clarify, I'm really not. I don't know how to preach the gospel and disciple people through this. Because I don't know how to teach them about grace and tell them that it's not about works, but yet there's works, but there's the works won't get you anything. So
you do know how to.
This is,
and you have been
I get that. I'm just telling you that if I don't want to read over this scripture and stick my head in the sand. This subject's strong. Jesus said many will say, Lord, Lord. Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not perform miracles in your name? Did they? Maybe they didn't. Maybe they're just saying they did. And he will say to them, I never knew you. That gives me pause. I'm not questioning my salvation. I believe I'm in. Probably barely. But that gives me pause, and it should give me pause. And Jesus said it to give you pause. Stop. Think. Or am I? Am I the guy that has one talent that hasn't done anything with it? Am I with the crowd? So I'll give you a couple things that I thought about this. Number one, I was with them. I'm in the crowd. There were many on the Broadway. There was many. The many's the many. It says many and few. Many are on the broad road to destruction. Many are. Do you think they know they're on the bad road? Do you think they know they're on the road to destruction? Do you think they know they're on the road to hell? Do you think the sign says, hell, 54 miles. No exits. Downhill, no brakes. The sign doesn't say hell. Nobody's advertising hell. Good.
So a couple things. If you've never been to, our family's been to Indonesia a number of times, and when we went there the first time, the thing that struck me, probably the biggest thing that struck me is, for those of you who don't know, Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation in the world. Their population is kind of close to the United States. And they are as culturally Muslim as we are culturally Christian. And I did not realize how culturally Christian our country is until I went to a fully culturally Muslim nation and realized how it permeates every aspect of society to the point of causing us to believe that because we are Americans, we are Christians. That's changing slowly in our country now. But I think culture has a huge influence on the, I don't want to use the word ability, but the ability or the probability of somebody thinking they're all right when they're not. Because of the culture that we live in, we're going along with the flow. And, you know, we're Americans, so we're all good. So then the second thing is, on a completely different, to answer the question is, for me, it always has to circle back to God. It always has to circle back to God as far as the quote-unquote works aspect. And again, I want to emphasize, think of it as be or being rather than doing necessarily. You're being who God made you to be. So in Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It always comes back to God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
Lest anyone should boast. Mm-hmm. And this is the end point that I want to make. For we are his workmanship. And that word is poema, like poem. We are each a poem God is writing.
Workmanship for what?
Created in Christ Jesus for good works.
For good works.
Which God prepared beforehand. We should walk in them. So the works are created by him for us to walk in. So our obedience to him is due to our faith in him and our surrender to him. And all we have to do is walk in the works that he has prepared beforehand for us to do by listening to his Holy Spirit.
Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. How do you know that you are a son of God? Because you obey Jesus. He says it over and over again. If you are my son, I will know that you are my son because you will do what I tell you to do. Right? Well, how will you know what he's telling you to do?
Because you've been given the helper.
Okay, but that's not it. We have the Bible. And in the Bible is his word. And his word is telling us. Agreed. But you need one to interpret the other. But the reality is, if you say, I can't hear the Holy Spirit, you can read. This book has instruction from, this is the word. Is the work getting you salvation? Chris, tell me.
No.
Do you know where I'm at?
What?
Are you feeling where I'm at? David Wilkins?
Yeah, David Wilkins. Who in the room is qualified to judge fruit? There's some obvious fruit. I get it. I understand that. But I get bored. I don't want to be judged by my fruit every day. Now, if you get to the end of my life, I don't want to judge in certain seasons for sure. I promise you there's bad fruit in my life if you're going to evaluate me over the last 2 months. But how are we capable of that? And that's a lot of religion is built on that. There's a lot of religion that says if these people do all these things, then they're men of God. But we would not have said that about David after he sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. We would have hung him by the nearest street pole if we judged him in the 30-day window after he had it for her husband. So I don't know how to judge fruit. I know how to stay in relationship with the Lord and the good and the bad. I know how to go back to that. I know how to let him, like Mindy said today, I mean, go back to Mindy's message. Like, it's nonstop. It's always, the Lord's always working on us and growing us. And I'm not really diverting from your question. It's answering the question in my mind. You can't answer this question without telling people, if you're not in a relationship, a serious relationship with the Lord, I don't know how to tell you a formula to figure this out.
But what I'm saying, and I totally agree with you, fruit, although there's no one in this room that can judge fruit, that the core question that you're asking, is fruit required?
Yes.
Right. And so I already know that. So I'm just picking up and adding the piece. But the problem is, the complicated part is, who judges the fruit? But the reality is, the core question of your message is this faith, is it works, or is it faith and works?
That's where you ask for forgiveness.
Well, that's definitely part of that complexity. I think it's the one in the middle. I think it is faith and works. I don't think I've heard anybody say anything that didn't have some fruit in it or some works in it.
But when you take, if you just took Ray's scripture, set it here, and then you take this scripture, they seem to... I don't think the scripture's in conflict with one another, but it certainly seems they're in conflict with one another. Not by works, lest any man should boast. If you're my son, you'll do what I tell you to do.
But I do think it comes back to a little bit of what Chris is saying, is it's out of that relationship. It's not so much that I'm doing it to get in a relationship, I'm actually responding to the relationship. I'm responding to the Lord, maybe.
I'm going to say this.
Is it possible to live your life as a Christian checking boxes of doing right?
I think you're in danger of being on the broad path.
That's my point.
I don't think our fruit's for us. For me, my fruit's not for me. So an apple tree that has apples, the apples aren't for the apple tree. An orange tree, the oranges aren't for the orange tree. The pears aren't for the pear tree. I don't think my fruit's for me. If I go build my house on sand, I think there's a lot of trees here that are going to be coming to my house on the sand saying, Derek, your house is going to crumble. I don't think our fruit's for us. I think it's for God. And every tree in here has a different fruit for all of us in here. You have salvation. I believe I have salvation. And I didn't do it on my own. I didn't get there on my own. And I believe that no one else here did it on their own. I think all of our fruit is for something else. It's not for me. I can do some badass stuff, selfishly, but I don't think it's for me. And if I stuck to that, I wouldn't be where I'm at now.
But what if there's no fruit? What if there's no fruit on that tree?
Well, it's the guy. There's two questions there. It's the guy that buried the talent. There's nothing that came out of it, right? And there's quite a bit of scripture about that. The deeper question that I don't know if everybody's picking up on, that I picked up on, is did the guy that buried the talent know that that was unacceptable? Because that's the deception part you led off with. Do these people even know that they're heading down a road? Did the guy that buried the talent actually know he wasn't supposed to do that? Don't know. Scripture doesn't say.
Both of those instances were fear responses.
Okay.
So the guy who buried his talent was a fear response for the reaction if he didn't do well with it. Same is true, I believe, with the people who cried out, Lord, Lord. They recognize the punishment, and they say, whoa, wait a second, last-ditch attempt to try to not end up where I actually deserve.
Guy beaten on the boat.
So it may not actually be like they were actually prophesying. It may just be like, oh, crap, I just got caught.
And I believe there's room for that they didn't actually do those things, but I'm also leaving room that they did do those things.
It's still a good alarm for all of us this morning. So,
I think there's a couple other thoughts I have, because I've been thinking about it a lot more than you guys all have, but the pinnacle of fruit in doing would be what? Prophesying, casting out demons, healing people, doing miracles. Don't you think that'd be the pinnacle of God's work? They were claiming to have, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but maybe they did. Maybe they did the pinnacle of God's work. Why aren't we getting in? We did this. You can't get in based on your works. So I could flip this. You can't get in based on fruit alone.
Jesus said the response was, I do not know you.
Never knew you.
Comes down to a relationship.
But you understand what I just said? If on the day of judgment, everybody remember this little secret. Don't answer I anything on the day of judgment. Don't even say that. Just don't say I. It has nothing to do with what you did or didn't do. So I'm going to reveal the secrets that I believe are some answers, but not all answers, but some answers. And I didn't get this till I was on almost ready to get in the car to come here. Jesus, do you think if Jesus said, do the will of the Father in one part of the Bible in red letters, and then in another part said, this is the will of the Father, that he was crossed up, that he was preaching over here, and now he's over here, and he doesn't know what those two things mean, the same thing? Do you think he has that problem? We might. I might say something to a group of guys over here and say something over here and be like, oh, he knows. No, he's just too dumb. He just said that in that moment with those people, and he said it over there with those. I don't think Jesus is that guy. I think if Jesus said that do the will of the Father on Tuesday in New York, and next November he was in California and he said, here's what the will of the Father is, I think they're the same. Would you agree? Everybody agree with that? Turn to John, chapter 6. Verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me. But raise them up at the last feast. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day.
When
you're standing at Judgment Day, it has nothing to do with what you did or did not do. It has everything to do with what he did. I'm here because the guy on the middle cross said I could come because I asked him. And I didn't forgive everybody, but he did. I didn't do things I should have done, but he did. And he said, I did it for you. And so my answer is, my righteousness is his righteousness. I'm right standing with God because Jesus is. And he gave that to me. And that's my answer. It isn't, Lord, Lord, I did your works. I did this thing. I went to church. I read the Bible. I gave a bunch of money away. I was good. I didn't cuss. I didn't drink. I didn't chew or go with those who do. It's not that. Your righteousness is one place and one place alone, and that's Jesus. Okay? Turn to John 14. All right. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, so that where I am, you may be also. We don't know where you're going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't, or he said, you know where I'm, the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you will know him and have seen him. Philip said, hey, Lord, show us the Father. We're idiots. You realize that, right? And that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have done, been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. It's not that bad. Shot, deer, bleed. Most of them. Why am I saying that? Why does a shot deer bleed? Because he's shot. Why will you do works? Because you're in him. And he's in him. And we're all in them. That's the fruit. There is works, but it's not because you're going to wake up and decide to do works. You're going to bleed because you've been shot. And works are going to come out of you because you're saved. And we'll know them by their fruits, their works. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, you've been walking, you've been living with me, you've been right beside me, and you still don't believe, at least believe me for the works that my Father's doing through me. Jesus didn't raise anybody from the dead. God did. He didn't heal people. God did. Through him. And he's saying, even if you don't believe in me, believe just because of that. That's how we are to know. That's how we know in our own selves that we're saved. That's how we know we're sealed. That's how we know we aren't the many who will say, Lord, Lord. Because on that day, my answer is going to be Jesus. I just say Jesus. I'm not saying anything else. Jesus. Take away or add. Anybody? Stand.
Close this out. Bow our heads. Lord, sometimes you send messengers and you prick at the deepest part of the thing that no one else sees. Lord, I thank you as each of us have been